Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 7, verses 25 to 39. John chapter 7, verses 25 to 39. Now keep in mind this topic for the text today, the very Christ, the very Christ. Now let's read the passage here in John chapter 7, verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple, as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So you see then that in this text, we find the discussion coming up of this is the very Christ. Now, there are six ways in this text that anyone present to hear Jesus could have figured out that he was indeed the very Christ. If not here, they could have figured it out at least within a year after he said these things. Because you see, this was said, these things that he said here, were said at the Feast of Tabernacles after the third Passover Jesus had during his ministry. So within 6 months of this day, Jesus Christ would be dead, buried, and resurrected. 40 days later, he would have ascended, and 10 days after that was Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given, which would have fulfilled everything that was talked about in this text. So even really within 8 months, they could have known if they had believed what he said. And they could tell by six things that are in the text. Number one, they could have told that, in fact, this was the very Christ. By his boldness. Look in verse 26 again. But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? He speaketh boldly. That boldness in Jesus' voice was typical of the preachers, was typical of the apostles, was typical of Jesus Christ, and showed a boldness that no man was able to show. For instance, look in Acts chapter 4. Here you've got the apostles. And the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, they took off. They were scared. Jesus even noticed that Peter denied him three times. Looked at him after his third denial. The cock crew, the whole thing, just like Jesus said. These men were timid even in front of the maids that were around there during the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you, after the Holy Spirit came and filled them, there was a boldness in them that was unmistakable. It was something that was given to them from God. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Isn't that something? When the Holy Spirit of God filled them, they spake with a boldness that was unmistakably characteristic of men that were filled with the Holy Spirit. Something that Jesus Christ had, an unusual thing, something that the people that were gathered there that day noticed about the Lord Jesus Christ. He spake with boldness, so much so that they were not able to answer him. In Ephesians chapter 6, here's Paul, the mighty apostle, the author of all these books in the New Testament here that we study so often. And he asked the Ephesians to pray for him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, he said, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." So he prayed for that boldness. The apostles prayed for that boldness. That was a boldness that was demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that he silenced them. They didn't know what to do with him. You know, this happened many times during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, but some of these are recorded. Look in Matthew chapter 22. They're trying to set Jesus Christ up for the kill. The Sadducees come, the Pharisees come, the Herodians come, a lawyer comes. They all have questions to ask Jesus, and they marvel at his answers. And then he asks them a question. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 42, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord?" And then he quotes from Psalm 110. And in Matthew chapter 22, verse 46, "No man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions." He silenced them. They couldn't answer the question. The stuff was written down. All they had to do was believe it, but they weren't going to believe it. And it was that boldness that was so characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. It really won his favor with the people that believed in him, and something, fortunately, that the apostles were able to do by the filling of the Holy Spirit when they began to preach. Look in Matthew chapter 21. The Pharisees got all upset because Jesus Christ messed up their little money deal going on there in the temple. And they want to know by what authority he was able to do these things. So Jesus asked them a question in Matthew chapter 21. He said, "I'll tell you if you can answer this question." Matthew chapter 21, verse 25, "The baptism of John, which was it? From heaven or of men?" They reasoned within themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? And if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet." And they answered Jesus and said, "We cannot tell." Don't you love it? Don't you absolutely love it? It was the ability by the authority of the Scripture and the filling of the Holy Spirit to say something that was irrefutable. No way to be challenged. He had them silenced in John chapter 7 that we're reading here. He had them silenced in Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 21. Anytime that he came on with the authority of the Word of God and the boldness of the Holy Spirit, it settled everything. There was nothing in the world they could do. And they could tell by his boldness that he was the Christ. But they didn't want to believe him. Not only that, they could tell that he was indeed the very Christ by his generation. Look in verse 27. "Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." Now they knew, or at least they could have known, where he was from. I mean, in verse 42, when they start talking about the Christ, "Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David?" They knew that. "And out of the town of Bethlehem," where David was, they knew that. They knew where he was coming from, and that he would have to be divine. So over here, they're just playing stupid, or they were too lazy to check the thing out by saying, when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. They knew. They knew he'd be of the seed of David. They knew that he would be from Bethlehem, and they knew that he would have to be divinely appointed. Watch it. Look in Matthew chapter 2. The wise men, these aren't even Christians. The wise men come from the east. They're Persians. They're like astrologers. Matthew chapter 2, look at verse 2, saying, verse 1 for the context. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, you mean to tell me that these Jews who had the words of God weren't going to know where Messiah came from, and these guys from the east knew the birth of the king of the Jews, knew his star that was prophesied by Balaam in Numbers chapter 24, and came to worship him? Come on. They were just laying behind a log. Look in Matthew chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That's quoted from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Not only that, they knew his generation by the earthly line, that he was actually the son of David. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Matthew chapter 1 gives you the genealogy through Joseph, leading back to David. And then you go to Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 23, and you see again the genealogy of Jesus Christ through Mary, leading all the way back to Adam. And while you're going there, you find that he's in fact from Nathan, who is from David. So what do you have here? You have two genealogies taking him back to David. The testimony of Micah, confirmed by the wise men from the east, that he was born in Bethlehem and followed his star. And then the testimony of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a sign given to Ahaz that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. They knew. They just didn't want to admit that they knew. His earthly origin would be Bethlehem. His divine origin would be the virgin birth through God Almighty. And the lineage would be David. The city would be Bethlehem. They knew all that. And by just simply taking a little time to check the thing out, I mean, didn't Paul tell us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? They could have checked it out. They didn't. So they could have known, in fact, that this was the very Christ by his boldness, by his generation, and thirdly, by his divine protection. Look in verse 30. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Look at verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Well, Jesus Christ was teaching openly in the temple. Why couldn't they get him? As a matter of fact, when they finally did get him in Gethsemane, he mocked them. He said, you're coming out, you know, with soldiers and staves as after a thief. He said, you know, what's the deal? I was daily with you in the temple. You didn't come get me then. He's mocking them. Look in verses 45 and 46. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Look at verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. They tried and couldn't do it. The officers got over there and heard the boldness of his speech, saw what he was doing. They said, ain't nobody ever talked like that before. And they were too afraid to get him. Couldn't get him. Had a divine protection on him. They couldn't get him until Gethsemane, and then they were able to get him only because he allowed it. Look in Matthew chapter 26. Peter tried to defend him, pulled a sword out, cut the ear off of Malchus, Jesus told Peter, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Then look in Matthew chapter 26, verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? So he let him have him. Jesus Christ had such a divine protection on him that until Gethsemane, when it was allowed by God Almighty that Jesus Christ would be arrested, and it was allowed by Jesus Christ because he didn't talk to his Father about defending himself. He said, not my will, but thine be done. It was allowed by Jesus Christ, and therefore it happened. But up until that time, no matter what they tried, they couldn't get him. Look in John chapter 19. Pilate had him in the courtroom and was determined to let him go and wanted to emphasize to Jesus Christ the level of his power over his sentencing. And in John chapter 19, verse 10, then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. So even Pilate, the governor, the power to execute, the power to release, had no power over the Lord Jesus Christ until it was given to him by God Almighty. The very divine protection on Jesus Christ was evidence that he, in fact, was the very Christ, the Son of the living God, but they didn't want to believe it. Not only that, there was another way that they could have known that this was indeed the very Christ. They could have known by his miracles. Look again in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, look at verse 31. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? No, as a matter of fact, no. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 is the evidence that Jesus Christ sent back to John the Baptist when John the Baptist was getting cold feet in the prison. John the Baptist didn't really understand something. He figured it out, but he didn't understand something. He knew that he was hailing the King of the Jews and figured that Jesus was going to go right on and take the throne. And when he didn't and John wound up in prison, that kind of surprised him. So he sent out word, are you it or do we look for somebody else? And Jesus sent back this testimony in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 11. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do and hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So, all of those kinds of miracles are things that nobody before him was ever able to do, not in that kind of quantity. I mean, Elisha and Elijah were both responsible for the resurrection of young boys. Elisha was responsible for the cleansing of the leper Naaman. But for the most part, the leprosy that was on Moses was healed as a sign that, in fact, he had spoken to God Almighty about delivering the Jews from Egypt. But on a grand scale, like Jesus Christ had done, healing everywhere he went, no. He was the only one that had ever done anything like that. And they're saying, look, when Christ comes, is he going to do more miracles than these which this man hath done? In other words, this has to be it. This has to be the man. Well, eventually, as far as raising the dead was concerned, Jesus Christ had his own resurrection. And boy, if they hadn't believed up until that time, that certainly put the icing on the cake. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was not an isolated event. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 5, we find the eyewitnesses to his resurrection. Peter, the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. In other words, if you want to verify what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there were nearly 500 eyewitnesses that were still alive that would give testimony to the fact that they had seen him all at once. And after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. You know, you only need two eyewitnesses in the court of law to prove a thing. And having 500, above 500 witnesses to his resurrection fairly established the fact, amen. So within 6 months, just a little over 6 months of the time that this thing is taking place here at the Feast of Tabernacles, any of the people that were there would have known for a fact that Jesus Christ was indeed the very Christ by his own resurrection. Look in Matthew chapter 28, in spite of the fact that there were liars running around denying his bodily resurrection, Matthew chapter 28. But thank God, Matthew and the other Jews were wise to what was going on here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. These are the guys that were at the tomb the night of the discovery of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Now, why would they have to do that if the thing wasn't a fact? Saying, say ye, in other words, want you to lie, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept, liars. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. That is, once the governor found out that the watch let the disciples come in, because they had fallen asleep on their watch, the governor would have commanded their execution. So we'll take care of you. Verse 15, so they took the money and did as they were taught, not as they knew. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The little gig was up. The cat was out of the bag. The word got out. These guys had been bribed to lie. And the eyewitnesses refuted their testimony. There were... how many men were there? At least four soldiers. And there were above 500 witnesses. There were 100 times more eyewitnesses than there were soldiers at the grave. Foolishness. If they wanted to know, they could have known. They didn't want to know. Now, that's not the only way they could have known that this was indeed the very Christ. They could have known that this was indeed the very Christ by his ascension. Look in verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, then, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come? Well, he went back to heaven. He went back where he came from. And that's why they couldn't find him. He wasn't anywhere here on the earth. And if they had believed his ascension, that was commonly reported, you're going to see here in just a minute. If they'd have believed his ascension, they would have known that this was indeed the very Christ. I mean, who else do you know that ever ascended up into heaven besides Elijah that was taken up by a whirlwind? Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Okay, then. They saw him go up into heaven. Not only that, this is even better. When Stephen was being executed by stoning, or getting ready to be, in Acts chapter 7, verse 56, he said, so that people knew that it was so, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So that confirmed his generation. And it confirmed his return. By 96 A.D., John the Apostle wrote of seeing Jesus Christ in heaven and wrote of his return. They would have known this was the very Christ. They just didn't want to believe. Okay, then, one more thing. They could have known that this was the very Christ indeed by his boldness, by his generation, by his divine protection, by his miracles, by his ascension, and by the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look at verses 37 to 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me," that's how you get it, "he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But he came, and they would have known this was the very Christ, because of the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, the Holy Spirit was given. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, to the Jews that were responsible for calling for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was given when they were baptized. In Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48, the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles without a water baptism, without the laying on of hands. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, Paul says exactly what's going on here to every believer. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So every person that is saved is baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. But they wouldn't believe. It's an amazing thing. Six evidences that this was indeed the very Christ: his boldness, his generation, his divine protection, his miracles, his ascension, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they wouldn't believe it. You know something? I believe it. Thank God you believe it. And if for some reason you haven't believed it until this day, would you bow your knees before Jesus Christ and receive him, so that you may know as well as we these things are so? And if you need any help in that regard, all you need to do is call us.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.